there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church. Heavenly Father, we are here in your presence still and here to praise you, here to hear from your word. Let your spirit speak through me. Let your word speak clearly through us and to us today. Lord, may we be directed in our thoughts and in our hearts, Lord, towards what you'd have us do and who you'd have us become. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you enjoy that this morning, have you ever shouted something and meant two different things at the same time? Does anyone care to shout out an example of something you might shout out and mean different things at the same time? There you go. Sometimes it's just, ah. Well, this is basically Palm Sunday. This is what happened on Palm Sunday, and that's today. In the Christian calendar, today is Palm Sunday. We're celebrating, but we're also hoping things don't fall apart. And this is sort of the tension that the Israelites and the culture was facing in the time that we read about in Scripture. And that's Palm Sunday, shouting two things at the same time. It's a loud celebration. It's a joyful celebration. It's a time that is full of praise. But underneath it, there's also this very deep, real need and desperation that exists. Sorry. I ate a granola bar, and I think there's a piece of granola still stuck in my throat. So if I just stop talking and coughing, that's why. Coffee will help. I was getting on a roll, too. But underneath it all, there's this deep, real need. Because the word they're shouting is Hosanna. We heard the kids sing it. We sang it in one of our songs this morning. It's Hosanna, but Hosanna isn't simply just praise. There's more to it than that. And so let's explore this word Hosanna this morning. That's what we're going to do here in church. Where does it come from? Well, let's head to Psalm 118. I'm just going to read through all the scriptures quickly. And so it's in the handout. If it's not, you can yell at me later or shout at me later and mean two different things at the same time. But it says this in Psalm 118, 25 to 26. Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. All of these today are from the CSB or the Christian Standard Bible. And if you want to look at that, what that Bible looks like, you can ask Elizabeth because she has the CSB Bible. And so that's where our scripture is going to be read from here today. But the phrase, Lord, save us. Someone say, Lord.
Lord.
Someone say, save.
Save.
Someone say, us.
Us.
Put it all together. Beautiful. It gets this Hebrew word, and I'm going to butcher it. I'm going to try, though. Hoshihana, which becomes Hosanna. So we're just going to stick to English this morning. But it's important for us to know the origin and the root of the word. Lord, save us. At its core, it means save us, we pray. And it also means rescue us now. Save us, we pray. Rescue us now. It's not polished. It's not formal. It is an honest shout of praise. We are praising, but we're also saying, Lord, save us. Blessed be the name of the Lord, but Lord, save us. I think we got the idea. So let's head to the scene. If you haven't been around church ever, no worries this morning. We're going to read through the story and you're going to get it. So heading over to Matthew 21, verse 6 to 11. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them, and they sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them out on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar, saying, Who is this? The crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Notice the words that they use. This last line is revealing to us. Who did the crowd think Jesus was? Some of them didn't know, and they said, Who is this man? And the others replied, He is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Later on, throughout Scripture, you'll see Jesus ask his disciples this same question. Well, who do they say that I am? And he says, who do you say that I am? And we'll talk about that later. John 12, verses 12 to 13. Similar story, different book of the Bible, same testament. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. This is a moment. This is a significant moment. As there are these groups of people around the world, cultures, nations, countries, who are all subservient to the Roman Empire. And Israel is no stranger to be under the rule of a foreign power. They have seen it before. And in fact, when they became a nation underneath the nation of Egypt. But God had given them a promise. He said, I have a land that I have promised your ancestor Abraham, and I have a promise that you will be a people who will be my people, and as my people, you will be a blessing to this world, and you will bring my blessing to this world. And they do some things that promote that calling in their life, and then they do some things that removes them from that calling and destiny. And God is faithful all the time, and Israel is not. And so they're in this season where they haven't been faithful. They've been in captivity. The people that rule over them has changed hands. If you read through world history, if you read through the Bible, you can hear the not just the stories, but the actual real live experiences that have happened. And Israel is in this position. They want to be a nation again as God had promised them, and yet they still misunderstood the blessing that God had called them to reveal to the world. But they're in this moment. They have this idea in their head. We are going to rise up again as a nation. We are going to take back Jerusalem. We're going to have our own king sit on our own throne. We are going to have this and we're going to have that. And so they're declaring in this moment, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem through the east gate on a donkey, not a war horse, but on a donkey, a sign of peace, as he rides into the city, they're saying, he is our king, he is our savior, he is the one. And yet they have no idea, no clear understanding fully of who this king really is. So this prophecy being fulfilled here. This isn't random. This was a fulfillment. And there's a prophecy being fulfilled here, and it amazes me that Israel misses it. They completely missed the boat, as we'll discover on Good Friday. Because today they shout Hosanna, and yet Friday they shout Crucify. They missed the boat, but thankful for us, we have the whole boat right here. Everything from start to finish, what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, all right here before us. We get the big picture. And so we have the luxury. We go back, and they knew the scriptures. They just, I think, chose to ignore them because they got passionate. I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants, right? We talked about this last week a little bit, right? And then we said, you know, listen to your heart, follow your heart, and then we read scripture. The heart is deceitful. Don't follow your heart. But they have this emotional response because they are being oppressed physically and emotionally and spiritually, and the list goes on. They're in this moment of desperation. And before I throw them under the bus completely, if we're honest, if we were to be in their shoes, where would we be in the crowd? What would we have yelled? We probably would have yelled alongside with them. So before I completely just go, bad Israel, good Gary, you know, just honestly, I'd be one of them. So, there's a prophecy, though. This isn't a random experience. Let's go back to the Old Testament, book of Zechariah. Not Zechariah, Zechariah. Z-E-C-H-A-R-I-A-H. 9:9. His prophecy is this. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. This sounds really good. This is the kind of king the crowd is looking for. Yeah, a righteous king, a victorious king. And then he gets to the next two lines, which they tend to ignore on Palm Sunday and again on Good Friday. Here he is, victorious and righteous, humble, and riding on a donkey. Not just a donkey, Zechariah keeps going. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. Does anyone know what a colt is in relation to a full-sized donkey? It's a little donkey. Baby donkey. So untrained. No one has ever ridden this donkey before. Have you ever, any animal, like a horse or a donkey, has anyone ever tried to ride an animal that has never been ridden before? Okay. Has anyone ever watched bull riding before? Has anyone ever tried bull riding? I'm going to keep going. Has anyone tried a mechanical bull? Oh, all right. All right, Summer Fellowship Church at the Beach, Pastor Katie, make a note. We need a mechanical bull for Heritage Days or Lighthouse Festival. Okay. It's not like a pretty sight. So like for those of you who have never seen, never experienced, I've never experienced this. But like this donkey is going left and Jesus is going right. The donkey goes right and Jesus is going left. He wants to go straight. You can just imagine he's untrained, but he's a pure, unbroken donkey. And this is the sign of humility that Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding. Israel expects this great, victorious, triumphant entry, but they did not expect the humility of Jesus. Hold that thought as well. Here's the tension of Hosanna. This is in the handout as well. This is where it always tends to get real because Hosanna holds two things at once. It's a cry for help, but it's also a declaration of praise. I'll say it again. It's a cry of help for help and a declaration of praise. So there's this cry, Lord, help me, but in this praise, you are my Savior. There's the cry of desperation, and then there's this celebration and declaration of celebration. And finally, there's a cry for need, and yet praise for faith. And we see this kind of prayer exist, and this tension exists all throughout Scripture. Head back to the book of Psalms 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Matthew 14, one of the most raw moments, 14 verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. That's Peter as he walks on water, as he steps out of the boat. He has this moment of cry and this moment of praise. And it's simply summed up in this word, Hosanna, Lord, save us. It's short, it's urgent, it's real. And if we're honest, we pray this way as well. We often will pray this way in ourselves. We may not say the word Hosanna, we may not say it out loud, but we might pray something when life gets overwhelming or we're in a situation, and it might be as simple as, God help. God help me. Or maybe it's just, oh God. Maybe it's just his name. Maybe it's just Jesus. God, I need you. God, show up. And Scripture says, continue to do this. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In our moments of desperation, God says, cry out to me. In your time of need, call out to me. But this is where the story shifts because something changes in the crowd. Luke 19, another gospel, gives us another version of the story. Chapter 19, verse 37 to 40. It's a powerful moment. It says this. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Now that's a great phrase that we should pay attention to. Because we hear this phrase in the book of Luke before. And if you don't know, come back at Christmas time and I'll read it to you then. Or you could go ahead and read Luke 2 right now and ignore what I'm going to say next. But we hear the angels, I'll just give it to you. We hear the angels, they declare at the birth of Jesus, glory to God in the highest heaven. And so Luke uses the same language again as the crowd is gathered and they say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And we have this moment as the crowd gets excited. They have this cry for help, this cry for desperation, but they have this great moment of joy, this great moment of praise. They're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth has come. They have Hosanna on their lips because it's a cry for help and it's a posture of praise. And as they're praising, the Pharisees, they're getting a little bit grumpy. Because the Pharisees have worked out a pretty decent deal with the government. You guys can practice your religious rules over here as long as it doesn't interfere with Herod and his plans and Caesar and his plans over here. And when the crowd starts getting wild and excited and cheering on a new king, the king over here gets a little bit ticked off. If you were Caesar or Herod, you would get ticked off too. You would get worried. And so there is a legitimate worry that they have. The crowd is getting louder. The crowd is getting wild. They're celebrating. They're praising. They're shouting. And the Pharisees are going, shh, stop. Every parent in the room just cringed a little bit because you've all been there. And they say to Jesus, teacher, not prophet, not savior, not king, teacher, rabbi, rebuke your disciples. And meanwhile, Jesus has gone, I have prepared them the last 3 years for this moment. He says, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. What an image. Imagine that sound. If we keep quiet as the followers of Jesus, who were created to be on this earth to bring praise to God, imagine if we stopped praising and we had ears to hear the rocks cry out. The beautiful thing about being on the North Shore, there's a lot of rocks. It would be loud. Like it would be excruciating loud. Imagine for those that work in, Harrison left, it's too bad. Imagine for those who work in a mine, imagine how loud it would be if those rocks started crying out in praise. Exactly. No, 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 no. Praise is erupting, but within days, the same crowd that's praising, Luke 23, waiting to release Jesus, Pilate addresses them again, but they keep shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify him. And how do we get this tension? How do we get this disconnect? Well, we'll talk more on Friday when you come for brunch, but essentially this is what happens. Expectations meet reality. I mean, have you ever been so excited about something and then so greatly disappointed moments later? Yeah. Any sports fan, particularly of any Toronto team, knows what this is like. I am very hopeful. I can grieve and I can celebrate at the same time. I am hopeful. We have three major league teams in the capital city of our province. One of these days, they are going to win again something worth celebrating. So, you guys would remember last fall my sudden interest in baseball as the Jays entered the World Series. What a game that was, man. Great excitement, great home runs, and then no, yes, no, yes, no, no, no. Yeah. Expectations meet reality. Here's the turning point. The crowd cries, God, save us. And God answered, not with a throne, not with a Calvary, but God answered, I will save you, but with a cross. Matthew 1:21 has already told us. She will give birth to a son, to name him Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. He says, by his wounds we have been healed. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. It says, by his wounds we've been healed. I don't know if you know, there's a lot of brokenness that was being experienced among the people of God. We look around our community today, look in every community along the North Shore, there is incredible amounts of brokenness that exist. Some physical, some mental, a lot of spiritual, but brokenness. We sang it in our song this morning, break your heart for what breaks mine. I'll be honest, I don't know if we can handle that pressure. If we could see what breaks the heart of God clearly and as much as what God sees, I don't know if we could handle it. I will also add, we're not the ones that are supposed to handle it. We will be the hands and feet. We will serve. We will sit with. We will listen. We will care for. But we cast all of our cares and our burdens on him. Because it's by his wounds that there is healing. There's a reality. They wanted rescue from Rome, but Jesus came to rescue them from sin. The greatest rescue that we could ever hope for. They wanted a new kingdom. Jesus came to bring them new life. Eternal life. Life, literally, that never ends. Which we get to celebrate next Sunday. So come back then. Psalm 118, it continues. Verse 22 says that the stone, Jesus, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. They shouted Hosanna, but rejected the one that they were praising. How ironic. I love Palm Sunday. I love looking at it in hindsight. How ironic. God, save us. Here's your Savior. No, save us. And yet, even in their rejection, and even in their praising, and even again in their rejection, no matter what happened, here's what I want us to pay attention to this morning, is that God's plan prevailed. God's plan never ceased when the crowd stopped. God's plan never ceased when the Pharisees stepped in and said, rebuke your disciples. God's plan continued to move forward. Elizabeth knew that it was Palm Sunday this morning, but I didn't really give her my notes of what we were. I said, can we do Honey in the Rock? That was the only song I think I asked for today. And Hosanna, perhaps. And then wrote this. I actually got my sermon done early this week. I was quite happy about that. And then looking at the song list, and we sang it this morning, and there was something powerful in just the words and just in the room today. I'm going to see a victory. You know, we have been with many of you as you have prayed for victory over one thing or another. And maybe the battle is still being fought, but here's what we know from this story. Is that God's plan moved forward, and God's plan is victorious, but it wasn't the victory that the people were expecting. And so I say, in the middle of your cry for help, and in the middle of your posture of praise, I believe you're going to see a victory. But it may be a different kind of victory than you expect. We can explore that maybe another day, or we can maybe explore that personally. But John 19:30, at the cross, it looked like a loss. But then Jesus says these words, it is finished. And if we're not in tune with what this actually means, we could just look at it as Jesus gives up and dies. It's finished. But what he actually did was point to a hopeful future. Because the phrase, "it is finished," in this particular culture and context wasn't a sign or a phrase of giving up. We can actually translate it differently and go, "it is finished. The price has been paid. The plan of God has succeeded. The gift of God to bring eternal life to the world has succeeded. The price to pay for the sins of humanity has now been paid. It is finished." If you go to the restaurant after church today and you go for lunch, I doubt very much that when you pay the bill, the waitress is going to write "it is finished" on there. But she very well could write "it is finished" because the bill has been paid, the price has been paid. And so Jesus doesn't sit there on the cross and give up. "Oh, it's finished. There's nothing more I can do." No, the price has been paid. I did everything that I was supposed to do. Except for Easter Sunday where he raises up from the dead. And then he's completed everything he's supposed to do. Paul explains this a little bit further in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what it says. "He made the ones who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's the answer to Hosanna. That's the answer to the cry of desperation. Not just a temporary relief, but total redemption. So let's step back and see the full picture clearly. Palm Sunday today, Hosanna, save us. Good Friday, the cross, it is finished, salvation accomplished. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, salvation confirmed. Romans 4:25, "He delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." What does this mean for us this morning? Because we still live in this tension, right? We live in this promise that Jesus is going to come back again, and we hold on to the hope that when he comes back, it won't be on a donkey, by the way. It will be on a war horse of victory to defeat evil once and for all. And we hold on to that hope, but we pray still in this tension, "God, fix this. God, change that." And so much selfishly, "God, do it now." And as I said, God wants us to pray these prayers. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to be dependent on him because he never created us to be apart from him. He never created us to be separated from him. He never created us to be alone in this world away from him. He says, "I want to be with you. And I have made a way when there is no way." And so we sit in this thing. We still pray these prayers. And God says, Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Well, that can be not comforting when I don't get what I want when I pray. "Hey, Gary, I think differently than you do. So just pause in your prayer for a minute. Your ways are not my ways," he says. "Well, I like the way that I was going. I think that's a good way to go." This is the Lord's declaration. "For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." All right. I forgot you can see things a little bit differently. It's like when you have a small child. And as an adult, we're generally taller than children. And we can see, I say generally because some of you are short, but generally, we can see things that children cannot. And we say, "Oh, no, 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 don't go over there." "But I want to go over there." "Well, if you go over there, you're going to get hurt." "No, I'm not. I can't see anything over there." It's the same thing when we come to God. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I sit on the heavenly throne. I see the big picture." Maybe when God puts the brakes on something, you know, you've heard the expressions, you know, when God closes one door, another one opens. I don't even know if that's true. It's not in the Bible, so. Does God always make a way? Yes. I come back to these. It's so good. I'm almost done, I promise. Keep it up. This is so good. But we have these moments. We come against barriers. And sometimes, and this is why we just walk with the Lord and we stay close to his voice. Right? We don't do this separate or apart from him, but we walk with him and we stay with him so that when we come against opposition, God, is this you putting a stop? Or is this just something we need to pray through and persevere through? Because I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to dig in and go. But your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So, Lord, I do this as unto you. This is also what we know this morning. God hears every Hosanna. He hears every cry of help, and he hears every moment of praise. But he answers deeper than we expect. What does this look like for us? Well, you'll notice as the slide just automatically changes, but church that pleases God praises God. What does that mean? Well, a church that praises God means that we cry out honestly. When we are in trouble, when we are going through trials of many kinds, which Jesus himself said we would, when we go through heartache, when we go through loss and grief, we cry out to God. We cry out honestly. But in our cry, we trust in him because he is our Savior. We trust that he has made a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. And we can trust because we see it all throughout history. God has done it again and again and again and again and again. And even when we haven't seen the breakthrough yet, and even when we have, a church that pleases God praises boldly. Psalm 100, verse 1. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Anyone want to practice this morning? Anyone want to practice your triumphant praise? Maybe you go for a walk this afternoon, or maybe go to your basement and just close the door and just give out the loudest shout that you can give in praise. Then you can practice, and we can do it next Sunday together. Does that sound okay? Walk out into the bush. No one will hear you. Didn't it really happen then? I don't know. Still awake. You're still with me. Good. We don't like doing shouts of praise too much in North America. We don't like to be too loud. Well, some of us don't like to be. Some of us are. But let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. There is just something powerful. Like, we sing praises. Oh, if someone else is singing, I can sing along. Elizabeth's leading, she's singing, I can sing along with her. We're going to sing. Maybe some of you, like, you're not very good at singing and you don't want to sing too loud. I understand. But if you don't want to sing, then you can dance. If you don't know how to dance, I know for a fact that you can shout. Not obnoxiously, not in a way that's distracting. But like when you win a game, when you are victorious about something, what do you do? Oh, yay, we won. Woohoo! No way. I'm not going to do it this morning. But we jump and we scream and we shout with great joy and great victory. Like the pennant is coming home. We did it. We make a big noise. And there is something powerful when we make a great triumphal noise even before we see the victory, because we know just how big our God really is. Because our praise is rooted in two things: God, I need you, and God, I trust you. And if you did it before, you're going to do it again. Hosanna holds this tension, and maybe that's where you are today. You're believing, but you're waiting. You're praising and still hurting. You're trusting and still asking. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you are living in this tension right now of waiting and praising and believing and hurting and trusting, call out to God, because blessed are those for those who hunger and thirst after the things of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the good things of God, for a better outcome, for a better reality than we face right now. They will be filled. So keep crying out, keep trusting, keep praising, because the same Jesus who heard Hosanna over 2,000 years ago still hears your Hosanna and your cry of praise today. That's where you say amen. Amen. I'll do it one more time, because the same Jesus who heard Hosanna 2,000 years ago still hears you today.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, let us be a church that never stops praising. Let us be a people who never stop praising. Let us be a people who trust deeply. Lord, in our brokenness, may we have the humility to come to your throne room and lay it all at your feet. Lord, for those that are suffering this morning, for those that are wavering today, would you give them hope of a bright and blessed future? Lord, would you fill them as their cup runs empty today? As they cry out for help in their Hosanna, Lord Jesus, would you come be the Savior that we know you are? Lord, would you transform our thoughts so they would be your thoughts? Lord, would you transform our ways so they would be your ways? And Lord, as we follow in these steps of righteousness today, Lord, we do it singing triumphant praise to your holy name. Lord, save us. You are our Savior. Help us to trust. Help us to sing. Help us to dance. And help us to shout, because you are our Savior, Jesus. Amen.